Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights, conversations exploring network transformation through interviews with industry experts.
Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights. We're coming to you live from the NFV World Congress event in San Jose. And right now I'm joined by Martin Taylor, CTO at Metaswitch Networks. Martin, welcome back to Chip Chat.
Thank you.
So Martin, why don't we just start with a reintroduction of Metaswitch Networks. I know you were on the program a couple of years ago, but I'm sure there's some new listeners online today.
Okay, so Metaswitch is a communications software vendor. Obviously, a very strong focus on NFV. Most of our products have to do with real-time communications. So we're talking about IP multimedia subsystems, session border controllers, telephony application servers, everything that you need to deploy voice and messaging in a voice over IP network, whether it's fixed or mobile. But we're also very active in the control plane area. So we've got very strong software plays around border gateway protocol and the IP network control plane generally.
The last time you were on the program, we were in an era of wondering how quickly NFV would take off in the marketplace and when the mass deployments would start. We're in a much different state of the industry right now. Tell me what you've seen and where you think the market is with NFV solution deployment today.
Momentum is clearly built very substantially over the last couple of years. I don't think it's a case of if network operators will deploy NFV, it's simply when. Many of them, of course, are very far along that journey already. I think we're seeing two different dynamics happening in the market. We're seeing, on the one hand, very tactical deployments of virtualized network functions, where there's no grand plan. It's just that if you have the choice between buying a network function as a proprietary box versus buying it as a piece of software that you can run virtualized, it's kind of a no-brainer that you're going to go the software route these days. And then, of course, there are the grand visionaries in the industry like AT&T, who are pursuing a very strategic path to virtualizing their entire network and going about it in a very thoroughgoing kind of a way. So we play at both of those extremes, and we see, you know, intermediate points along the way as well.
Obviously, and it's interesting that you say that. When you look at an AT&T or some of the larger service providers that have taken a much bolder step in terms of their public commitments to virtualized networks, there is an incredible competitive advantage that can be reached by being early in this space. Where do you think they are in terms of yielding that value, and what are the fast followers at risk on in terms of not pursuing so aggressively?
Well, interestingly, some of the fast followers are actually kind of leapfrogging the first generation of VNFs. We're beginning to see this dynamic at play where if you moved very early in the NFV space, you had very limited choice of virtualized network function products. And typically those were just ports of software from appliances, likely adapted to run in a virtualized environment, but not really delivering the full range of benefits of NFV. You know, they don't scale out. They're not cloud native in any real sense of the word. Some of the customers that we're now working with were not very early on in the game. And to be honest, observed some of the challenges that the first movers were getting with onboarding and with orchestration and that kind of thing. And I think realized that going down a cloud native route is a better path. So in some ways, by kind of delaying, they may benefit by leapfrogging that first generation.
When you're working with customers who are looking to take those next steps in deployment, what are the typical network functions that they're targeting today?
Clearly, we see the network functions that are in our portfolio because those are where we have the customer engagements. But having said that, one of the areas of most active deployment generally is voice over LTE. And so, you know, we see a lot of interest in virtualized EPC, the Evolved Packet Core, as mobile LTE networks grow. And we also see a lot of interest in the IMS and TAS and SBC, all those functions that make up a voice over LTE thing. We also kind of see on the periphery of our activity, virtual CPE is a big area, and we've got some interest there in our session border controller as one of those VNFs that can live in a virtual CPE.
If you look at the market today and you look at the challenges ahead, where do you think the next wave of innovation will be occurring in terms of the network industry, and are there specific challenges that Metaswitch is specifically focused on?
We're seeing a continuing evolution of the virtualization space going on. So one of the things that's actually been slowing the industry down a little bit is wrestling with the complexities of the cloud and virtualization environments that are out there. OpenStack has improved a lot over the last couple of years, but it's still quite a complex beast to wrestle to the ground and master it and get it to do what you need it to do. And we now see people beginning to recognize that containers are actually an easier, better, cleaner, and more hygienic way of doing virtualization. Mm-hmm. So we're hard at work preparing our network functions for containerization, and we've done a lot of demos in that space, but we'll be containerizing our entire portfolio during the course of this calendar year. And we see a lot of interest now amongst network operators, again, in kind of leapfrogging the first generation of virtualization and maybe going straight to containerization because it's perceived as just a much easier environment to work
in. Sure, more elegant in a way. Everyone is talking about the advent of 5G and the corresponding race to get virtualized networks in place in time for 5G adoption. Where do you think we are with the industry, and do you think that the service providers are serious about this transition in time for 5G introduction?
Yeah, I think there's a general perception that 5G is really going to drive virtualization very hard, if for no other reason than the fact that 5G embraces this concept of network slicing so in such an all-encompassing way. You can't do slicing unless you virtualize.
Right.
So it certainly feels like 5G and virtualization are going to go hand in hand. And, you know, the laggards are going to be forced to adopt virtualization if they're going to make the most of 5G. Readiness, I mean, 5G isn't going to be with us for another couple of years, mm-hmm. realistically. So release 15 comes out next June. And in the early days, maybe we're going to see some deployments of 5G that don't embody all of the use cases and maybe don't even support network slicing initially. Mm-hmm. You know, the enhanced mobile broadband service is a kind of the mainstream use case, I think, and that's going to be the thing that rolls out first. Whether the industry is going to be ready or not, well, it's certainly getting there at a pace. Perhaps the more interesting question is whether the vendors are going to be ready with those virtualized network functions that are really going to roll out nicely to support 5G. The next generation packet core, I think, is going to be a very interesting play.
Interesting. When you look at the portfolio of solutions that Metaswitch is offering, what is setting your offerings apart in the solution portfolio that is available in the marketplace? And how have you driven performance optimizations to those solutions?
Our differentiation really comes from a deep understanding of the software world generally. I mean, we're very unlike pretty well all of our competitors in the sense that we started as a pure software company. That was more than 30 years ago, and we've been a pure software company ever since then. And you just have a different sensibility and a different way of approaching problem solving as a pure software player, never relying on any kind of specialized hardware to do the heavy lifting, but learning how to exploit commercial off-the-shelf silicon to do the work for you. So being able to get really good performance out of x86 for the most demanding tasks. In our world, that includes things like session border control, media relay, DDoS protection, those kinds of tasks where traditionally people have always used specialized silicon, network processor chips, content addressable memories, those kinds of things. We had to learn at first hand how to solve those problems on standard silicon x86. And of course, along the way, we've made extremely good use of some of the software tools that Intel's made available. DPDK, of course, being foremost among those. And mastering DPDK and exploiting it to the full takes a lot of doing and a lot of learning, you know, which we've been doing now for 5 or 6 years.
Sure.
And that's kind of how long it takes to really get on top of that subject.
And of course, that pays dividends down the line as you become more familiar with the underlying hardware architecture, you're more able to take advantage of it in subsequent generations of processors.
Well, absolutely. I mean, our decision to stick with x86, particularly for a very challenging development around session border control going back 5 or 6 years now, where at that point, x86 was only just able to match the best available proprietary hardware out there. But of course, since then, the generation after generation improvements we've had give us performance boost for free, effectively.
Great.
So now we're not just competitive, we're out there in the lead.
Sure.
And you know, our competitors are still struggling with trying to get off their dependence on proprietary silicon and learn how to do these things with x86.
Martin, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. One final question for you. If folks who are listening online want to find out more about the Metaswitch products available in the marketplace and engage with your sales teams, where would you send them?
Metaswitch.com.
Well, thank you so much for coming back on the program today. It was a pleasure. We'd love to have you back again in the future.
Great. It's been a pleasure too. Thank you.